Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Or if you prefer, he has been raised. This is a day of great change. Probably the greatest change that might ever happen. The change from the worst thing to the best thing possible. Death is exchanged for life. Such change brings rejoicing, relief, renewal, and renewal of spirit. The stories that people have loved to tell and hear and repeat throughout years of human existence abound with wonderful and hopeful changes. We grow up hearing of fairy stories which have happy endings, with just desserts and everything sorted, and change for the best. We like stories from our history. We enjoy these stories from childhood of rags to riches, disaster to success, failure to achievement, loneliness to love. From a miss to a hit, from lost to found, from defeat to victory, from rejection to romance, from war to peace, from sorrow to happiness, from neglect to fame. These are the ingredients of the happy endings we still long for and hope for in the films and TV soap operas that we watch. We long for what is called poetic justice. We long for problems to be solved, wrongs righted, justice done, good rewarded, and evil punished. Sadly, our experience tells us that such conclusions are the stuff of fiction, that real life isn't like that. We can be and have been disappointed often, let down. We have been bereaved. We have known defeat and weakness. Yet today we remember and rejoice in a change that the gospel tells us was greater than any that any who lived through it could have imagined. And when we think about it, and we think about all these ways in which we hope the world would change, but we don't really do enough ourselves to bring that change about, we realise the change that came about in Jesus' disciples when at last they were activated to carry out what he had taught them. Jesus had gone from the tomb. The cave where his body had been buried was empty. And when the woman friends came to do what was left to be done in laying his body to rest in peace, they had the biggest surprise in seeing that the stone that sealed the cave entrance had gone, rolled away. We heard this morning in the park that there was an angel sitting on it. Matthew's gospel also tells us that this stone was removed by an earthquake. I expect you may know or can guess that the Greek word for an earthquake is seismos. The change that has happened was seismic, cosmic. Echeto, something that I said at the Palm Sunday service when we read the message of the stones crying out. It put Jesus in the cosmic dimension. The seismic event changed the world. And we are still living with the effects and repercussions of that seismic event. The event that showed that Jesus was alive, that he had risen. The stone had been moved to show the tomb was empty. And this was more than just a happy ending after all. It was a complete reversal of everything that had been expected about life and death Nothing about life or death would ever be the same again. The first witnesses Luke tells us about were overcome, less by surprise or joy than by fear. Luke says they were puzzled, baffled, bewildered. They were baffled by the unexpected discovery they had made. Here they came, sad, despondent, bereft, anxious to do for Jesus what they thought would be the last honours that they could give him. And he was gone. His body vanished, stolen perhaps. Their faces would have shown all the terrible thoughts and reactions that must have crossed their minds. But suddenly, they were not alone. Two shining figures are there to challenge them. "Why do you seek the living one among the dead ones?" is what they say. "Why are you looking for the dead among the dead for one who is alive?" That verse is only in Luke's Gospel, by the way. Remember what he said, these shining ones tell the women. Remember what he said. And of course then they remember. Just as the disciples will remember when the news hits them. Then they are ready. And the women are ready to carry to the others the same instruction, the instruction to remember. They and those mysterious messengers bring a message that death is past. Jesus has moved on, and he is alive. So he won't be found among the dead, and we won't find him there, for he is free and living, a living reality for all who have faith. Faith comes by remembering the words of Jesus. What does it mean to remember? Part of remembering is making some thoughts present. That's what the women were expecting to do when they went to the grave. That's a different kind of remembering from what is going to happen from now on as the Gospels are written and proclaimed. Because they're saying, remember what Jesus said. Remember when he did that. Remember when he told us this. How ashamed we were. We weren't listening. We were thinking about something else. We didn't realize what he meant. But now we know. When we recall Jesus' words to do this in remembrance of me, when we reenact again the Last Supper, this remembering is more than just thinking about it, but representing, rehearsing, living through the action and the sharing of that remembering. Jesus went through the barrier of death for everyone and for all time. He did that not to join the dead, but to rejoin the living. Through the Spirit of which he spoke, remember, he is still alive. He is still active in the world. He is still here with us as part of our lives, just as we pray he will be part of the lives of Loughlin and Finlay. He is here to share lives which we know we share in his kingdom. Amen.